following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
I like saving money. In fact, to save on lunches, every day I pack myself a sandwich on whole wheat bread. It's healthy, plus it keeps people who are gluten-free from stealing my lunch. Another good way to save money is to switch your car insurance to GEICO. They've even got a special discount for people that are gluten-free. Nah, not really. But that's not a bad idea.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Wow, look at her. She yours?
Yeah, my first.
Congrats. You're going to love every moment of it.
This is all just so new for me.
Here you are, sir. Your Subway Applewood pulled pork with extra pickles.
I'm just so happy.
Try the newest arrival at Subway. The new Applewood pulled pork. Tender pork and rich barbecue sauce bursting with sweet, smoky Applewood flavor on freshly baked bread. Get it before it's gone. Subway. Eat fresh.
Limited time only.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Doug Duda, Randy Bushketter with you on our usual Wednesday time slot. And we have got a lot to talk about today, including the naming of the new athletic director at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Paul Plinsky. And he will join us here momentarily on the Doug and Daddy Show. They're making their rounds, making their appointments, had the press conference earlier this morning, just coming off the heels of that. And we will hear from the man himself, Paul Plinsky, the new athletic director, coming up in just about 5-6 minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Also, Mike Pereira, Fox Sports Network. He's the man in the booth now. He tells you why, you know, okay, they're looking under the hood. Here's what's going to happen. But we got a chance to catch up with Mike. We're going to bring that to you in our high school football preview. Takes us to Kearney Catholic. Dave Colling of the Stars. We'll see how things stack up for Kearney Catholic this upcoming year. UNK Volleyball ranked third in the preseason national poll. That came out. We'll get to the rest of the day's sports as the show progresses. But, Randy, obviously the big story is that officially today Paul Plinsky named the athletic director at UNK. And without being, I don't personally know any of the candidates, whether they were the four finalists or any of the other ones.
Right.
And I asked the chancellor about this at the press conference today. It seemed to me that Mr. Plinsky, for the staff, for the faculty, for the people that were around the interview process, the people who are going to be working for Mr. Plinsky, was far and above the choice that they wanted.
And it was for me as well. I had the opportunity to meet all four, and it's not like in that time you become old fishing buddies or anything like that, but you hopefully you do get a sense of who the people are. And Mr. Plinsky, to me, was, if I had a vote, he would have been the person that I chose. And I'm not even sure, you know, for a long time there, who would be the second. But he, far and away, for me, was the leading candidate. Part of it is there's an energy to him. There's a charisma to him. There's just kind of something about him that you can't really put your finger on compared to the other. And I'm not saying anything negative about the other candidates, but there was just something a little extra with Mr. Plinsky. And of the four, this is the guy that I was hoping that they would choose. And now he's coming into town, already got the Loper shirt on and ready to roll.
We'll see, too. Let's not blow him up. We'll welcome him to town.
We'll give him a little introduction here in a little bit, and because there's some transition. There's a lot of questions. You know, the program, obviously, the university's athletic programs are obviously going to be in a major transition at this point. You know, so this is a time where you kind of do have to hold these feet to the fire and say, you know, all right, where are we going? What's the philosophy? What's the direction? And obviously, those kinds of questions were asked by the committee and by the chancellor. He came up with a set of answers that I'm sure they kind of felt the most comfortable with.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug due to Randy Bushcutter. Randy, also one of the biggest fans that UNK has.
There's a lot of us. Not as many as I'd like there to be, but there's a lot of us.
Yeah. I'm just saying you're more than a casual go-to-a-game guy.
Yes, that's fair to say.
And have worked with the university, and we can go deep into this, and I think people know that, so we don't have to go over the resume here. What do you think the current state of UNK athletics is?
I think it is still very much in transition. I mean, there's a tipping point that's coming, I think. We were a big fish. UNK was a big fish in a relatively small pond in the RMAC. And now we're same size of fish, but we're swimming with some pretty big fish in the MIAA in terms of other programs as well. I think basketball, top to bottom, is better. Volleyball is better, you know, with Washburn and some of those other teams versus what we ran into in the RMAC. Football, definitely, you know, much, much better. And so Kearney has to grow. Kearney has to improve the number of scholarships they have. Facilities are good. They're not the best in the conference. They were the best in the RMAC or pretty close to it. Now they're not. They're serviceable. They're good. So we're at a tipping point. We're either going to become less than average in our conference or we're going to become more than that. And we need to find a way. And again, it always comes down to money, it seems like. We have to find some way to fund the programs better to be able to compete in those sports where I think people really want to be competitive. You know, it'd be nice to be competitive in tennis and all that, but the revenue sports, the high interest, the high attendance sports, UNK is kind of at a tipping point in those in terms of moving on. Obviously, I think volleyball's already there, but the other programs, and wrestling as well, but the other programs, they're kind of at a tipping point.
If you have a question for us, a comment, you can always join the program. If you have a question that you would like asked of the new athletic director at UNK, Paul Plinsky, fire us off an email or Facebook us, tweet us. Again, the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550, and you can Facebook us at ESPN Superstation. As always, the Bruce Furniture fan line, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. We will take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and when we come back, we will introduce you, the listeners, to the new athletic director at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Paul Plinsky.
Hi, this is Trina. Like many of you, my husband and I are extremely busy with our careers and raising our kids, and the one thing that got away from us was our health. And to be 100% honest, we got fat. Our health was terrible. We then found Complete Nutrition. It was different. Their people really helped us out. The vitamins and supplements they recommended made us feel great. One was actually a metabolism-boosting multivitamin. Complete Nutrition has the only multivitamin on the market that actually boosts your metabolism. Who wouldn't want that? It's been a few months, and we can't believe it. We are both down over 20 pounds. We have the energy we had in our 20s, and our doctor is amazed at how much our health has changed. We now realize that if you don't have your health, what do you really have? And it really stuck with us. If you don't have your health, what do you really have? Discover the difference at Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of SunMart on 2nd Avenue.
So, Greeny, at your barbecue this weekend, do you need help getting your grill started like last year?
Well, that's nice of you, Golic, but I think I'm all set.
Pop quiz. What should you never do while manning the grill?
Take my eye off my famous steamed quinoa?
No. The correct answer is don't pierce the brat. It drains the juices and ruins the flavor.
Well, who says that?
Says everyone, including the sausage expert, the Johnsonville brat tender.
Interesting.
And just in case you forgot, listen and listen good.
Don't pierce the brat.
Wow, this is my new summer anthem.
Well, right now, you can even record your own version of Don't Pierce the Brat for a chance to win $5,000 in free Johnsonville brats for a year. Log on to Johnsonville's Grilling Facebook page for full contest details.
Johnsonville, served with pride since 1940.
We'll see some scattered showers and storms around the area today, along with some breaks of sun developing in spots with a high at 78. Winds will stay to the south. Tonight, there's a chance for isolated showers and storms as we head back to 61. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 64.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Time for our Loper Link every Wednesday, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. And what a great coincidence that it is a Wednesday that UNK has named their new athletic director, coming from Wisconsin Whitewater, and all kinds of ties to Wisconsin, obviously, and to the Midwest, which we can get into. But first, Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, welcome in Paul Plinski to the Doug and Daddy Studios. And Paul, first off, welcome and congratulations.
Thanks, guys. I'm honored to be here, and it's a thrill to be in the studio with you and start to talk about Loper Athletics and what we can do to build the Kearney community. My wife and I had a chance to drive in last night, and the sun was setting in the west, and it was just kind of surreal for us, because in some ways we're coming home, but another part of us is that we're excited to be a part of a program that's got some exciting things on the horizon.
So we got Wisconsin and Michigan coming into Nebraska.
That's right.
So how should we treat this, right? Or your wife, as you can tell us a little bit about the family, because people,
sure,
you know, here in the Midwest, that's what they want to know. Tell us a little bit about your background, your family, and let them know about it.
Yeah, well, I'd be honored. I grew up in South Minneapolis, and my dad was a high school coach and a teacher, and then I went to Bethel University in St. Paul, where I played football and basketball. And I learned some lifelong lessons there about being a collegiate student athlete, and then had the opportunity to go to the University of Illinois to work in the football program there as a graduate assistant, and then went back to the University of Minnesota to get my PhD and to work in the athletic department. And started at University of Wisconsin La Crosse in 1999 and 2004, excuse me, and then started at Whitewater in 2004. Well, lo and behold, I was on a national committee and was in Lincoln, Nebraska, and had the honor of meeting my wife, Elizabeth Camphy. Elizabeth's parents, Randy and Patty, are both from Gothenburg, and the two of them were born and raised there and have now moved to Decatur, Illinois. Well, coincidentally, Elizabeth, growing up in Decatur, then went to the University of Michigan, where she ran cross-country and track and field, and then went to the University of Illinois to get her master's in business administration. And then from there, she worked at University of Kentucky and then for the Western Athletic Conference. So in 2009, fate would have it, we met on this national committee as she was working for the Western Athletic Conference, and I was working for UW-Whitewater. And a year later, we're married, and here we are with two lovely children and a great opportunity to come to Kearney, Nebraska.
Well, we've done a fair amount of research on you, and I know you've researched UNK. A little bit ago, Doug asked me kind of what I thought the status of the overall athletic programs were. It'd be a great opportunity to kind of ask the new athletic director, where do you see where UNK is? And then we'll start talking about the direction that we kind of go from here. But where is UNK at the moment?
Well, UNK is in an interesting position right now because obviously coming off the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference and being hugely successful, the programs could show up and basically arm wrestle anybody and beat them in their competitions. And so teams were doing very well in the All Sports Award and competing at a national level. And then when the transition occurred to go to the Mid-American Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, this was a big jump for this school. And at the same time, it was the right jump. And so I would say that the program's in a state of transition, if you will. Transition from a lower level conference to probably the best conference in Division II athletics. And so with that comes the need to figure out where our facilities are, the need to figure out our scholarships and the level of them that we're funding our programs, the needs that we have to support our student athletes in their quest to compete for conference and national championships. So I think that you can take a look at individual programs and see a lot of strengths, but then there's some areas of improvement that are definitely needed. And so, you know, as athletic director, I'll do that. I'll spend a lot of time looking at strengths, but I'll also spend time talking with coaches and student athletes and find out what we can do to be better and compete for those championships in the conference and at the national level.
We're talking with the new athletic director at UNK, Paul Plinsky, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. During this process, Paul, back home here, a lot of people have had the same questions. I broached it to you at the press conference. When they were looking for a candidate, how much would be taking care of UNK from an administrative side? Fundraising, or Andy, you would agree,
oh, yeah,
is the number one thing that's been beaten into what UNK seems to need. That's what people think UNK needs to catch up in the MIAA. Is that true, and is it too early? Do you have a blueprint? Is it too early to know how you attack UNK from a fundraising standpoint?
Well, we're in a time right now where the arms race is pretty prevalent. And what we mean by the arms race, we're talking about facilities, we're talking about scholarships, we're talking about coaching staffs. Those are the types of things that define what the arms race is all about in college athletics. And in our conference right now, we're looking at some schools that have resources that mirror NFL teams, for example, Missouri Western. You're looking at schools that have outstanding coaches and staff. Northwestern Missouri State is another example there. You look at schools that have outstanding facilities and are fully scholarshiped or have fully funded for their scholarships. I think that one of the things that will be a major role for me is looking at our external fundraising that we're doing in our corporate sponsorships and ticket sales, and to, you know, looking at all the external funding that can come into the athletic department, because there's a cap on what we can do. You know, the Board of Regents has kind of put a stop on the increases for tuition for a couple year period of time, and at the same time, we're in times where we have to be frugal and watch our money. So we've got to go out and find those donors. And to me, it's about finding friends first, finding people who are interested in being friends of the program and then compelling them to give to the program. You know, being at University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, we were shadow to the Wisconsin Badgers. Kearney is shadow to the Cornhuskers. Mm-hmm. And I get that. I understand that completely. So in my role as athletic director, I'm going to look for those donors, and perhaps they're alumni, perhaps they're people in the community, perhaps they're people that are 200 to 500 miles away from here. We're going to look for those people and try to provide for them something special that they don't get at a University of Nebraska or a University of Wisconsin. And that's what Kearney has that Whitewater had. We can draw on those people because I think they feel like their dollar can go further with a school like UNK than it could another school in the state. So it'll be a big challenge for me, but it's one that I'm excited because as I've talked to the chancellor, they're ready to arm the athletic department with what's needed to build the resources here and help support our coaches.
You already touched on this a little bit. You said you need to make friends first before you start raising those funds. How do you go about that with the long shadow that is cast by the University of Nebraska? I mean, there's places like Pittsburgh State down in Kansas. You go there, mm-hmm, on game day, you know it's game day because, mm-hmm, you see a lot of the red and the gold. Same thing's kind of true of Marysville, Missouri, with Northwest Missouri State. How do you make that kind of environment? How do you bring that into Kearney?
Well, first of all, I'm honored and really just excited when I read about Kearney Athletics and see the preseason rankings that have come out specifically for women's volleyball. Now I know football is lower than what they had hoped for, but at the same time, you know, they're going to be the underdogs most of the year, but preseason rankings really mean nothing. And in a lot of ways, so does this introductory press conference that we had today. My job from here is to now go to the office, roll up my sleeves, and start to build our product and build who we are. And number one for us will be to look at all of our sport teams and try to put the best product on the field, on the court, on the wrestling mat, in the gym, you name it, because that product is going to bring in pride, it's going to bring excitement, it's going to bring in people to our community to support the Lopers. And I think that's key number one. The second one is that we're going to rally with the Nebraska Foundation and try to find all those alumni that are out there that have an interest but haven't been asked yet. And once they give, we follow up with thank yous. And so we've got to go we got to get off campus, and we got to find these people and meet with them, have social events, have pregame rallies, invite them to come back to campus for special events and activities. Those are all part of the process that we can do. And then lastly is really to collaborate with people on campus. Sometimes there's donors out there that want to give both to an academic program and to athletics. So we have to figure those people out and be donor-centered in our proposals. And so, you know, it's a lengthy process. There's a lot of keys to it, but there's definitely the tools here on campus to make these things work, because the transition is really exciting for what the future can hold here.
Talking with the new athletic director at UNK, Paul Plinsky, in from Wisconsin Whitewater, introduced this morning. He's with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Paul, I have to ask you what – this is probably going to be a two- or three-part question, so I'll let you kind of attack the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about the programs at UNK? And, again, I believe most of the coaches and the staff liked you. They wanted you as the hire.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a young man. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of these – this has not had a lot of transition at UNK, mm-hmm. or turnover in the coaches. So a lot of these guys have been here, and gals – for a long, long time. What do you know about the programs? What do you do to evaluate coaches? And what do you do with the coaches that applied for this position that didn't get this position? Because I would think that would be an interesting mm-hmm. little dynamic, getting to meet them mm-hmm. and know those people.
Multifaceted question.
I threw out a whole bunch of stuff there.
Pretty in-depth, but at the same time, very inquisitive and much appreciated, because, you know, as you enter into a new position, you always want to get the lay of the land and figure out what's going on. And, you know, I'm really excited to become partners with the coaches and staff here. You know, a lot of them have shown their loyalty and stayed with this institution for a number of years, and they've been through some great times and they've been through some struggles. And my role will be to build a partnership and establish trust with them so that we can collaborate and talk about various things. I'll find out who the individuals are that would have liked to been the athletic director, and we'll have a conversation about that, their goals, their aspirations, and the things that they want to do. But I'll also ask them to be a partner with me, because I've been selected and it's my role now to take the program and move it forward. And collectively, we can do some things and be really effective. But as I work with some of these coaches who are relatively new, who have been here numerous years, not only are we building this partnership and this trust between us, but we're looking for ways to improve the program. And so we're going to look at it from different angles, and hopefully my experiences at different institutions will help me with that too, and help give the coaches the advice and support that they need. First and foremost is the student athlete experience. We want that to be front of what we're doing. Second is we want to create an environment where they're experiencing success. And success can be defined in different ways. For Daryl Morris, it could be, you know, let's this year get to 500. For you know, Rick, the volleyball coach, it could be, you know, let's win the MIAA and finish in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. But those can be quantified and things we talk about. But for me, I'm never going to go in and I'm going to say, you've got to win this game or you got to win that game or we have to win a national title. For me, it's about the process. And that's what we're going to look for as they build their programs. And those are the types of things that I'd hope we can establish in year one, but also throughout my time here on campus.
There's currently 19 programs on the campus, varsity programs. 5, 10, 15, maybe even 20 years down the road, what do you kind of envision that number of programs being as we look down the road?
Well, a couple of variables come into consideration here. First, we have to look at overall finances to see what is affordable. Second is we have to look at Title IX to see that we're being equitable with gender equity. And third, we have to look at it and decide if we want to be a broad-based, successful program or if we want to tier our programs. I haven't been a proponent of tiering and saying we want certain sport programs to get all the resources and they're the ones that are expected to be the champions. I have more of a philosophical approach of being broad-based. But I like the sport module that's currently here. Now, whether it's sustainable, at this time, I'm not exactly sure, but what's unique about this place is that there's a lot of great sport programs that are appealing in a lot of different ways. You know, football is brings great pride to an institution, and when you surround it with homecoming activities and the celebratory effect of game day, there's nothing like it. But then on the flip side of it, there's also some great programs that provide student athletes with wonderful experiences. You know, I name cross country and track and field and golf and tennis. You know, those student athletes are working just as hard and they're doing outstanding work. So we're really going to value all of our sport programs and try to make them all as good as they possibly can be in the MIAA. But we'll have to look at, you know, staffing, facilities, resources, and try to make some real sound strategic decisions moving forward.
Do you think there is the possibility of a program being cut at UNK or multiple programs being cut at UNK?
I think there's always the possibility of programs being cut, but I've never been at an institution where we've faced that challenged. We've put it as an option, but it's always been the last option. And I think the first priority is to sustain all programs so that student athletes can have a great experience. But if there comes a point where those experiences are dwindling and the program can't support itself anymore or the institution can't support that program, then we have to look at it and make a strategic decision. But we also have to be transparent. We have to be honest with people. We have to work with people and put a game plan together to if it's going to be a decision that's going to be made. But it's not something I would entertain at this time because in talking with the chancellor, there's a lot of steps that need to take place first. You know, the campus needs to look at its Title IX status. Campus needs to look at its funding and not only for athletics but for all programs. And so we've got to take a totality of circumstances and understand where we're at in a broad-based perspective before we start making rash decisions. So we're in it for the long haul, and we're going to do what's right for our student athletes.
What is your philosophy in terms of timing? Do you wait 6-9 months before you make any major decisions, or it's your program, you're the athletic director, do you start right away? What is kind of the time frame for making some of those major decisions?
Well, the first year to me is really developing relationships and building trust and not making any decisions that are too dramatic. I mean, we're going to have to make some decisions that are going to be difficult for some, but nothing that's going to be overly dramatic and hard for people to embrace. We want people to establish trust, especially in me and in the leadership of our program, what we're trying to do first. That's number one goal. And then from there, we can develop the next steps on what type of decisions that need to be made. And that's the the most sound approach. You know, we're in it for the long haul and want to see this thing through. And so we're not coming in like gangbusters and trying to change the world, because the culture here and the people that have been here for years have established something special. And so I'm going to try to come in and learn it and understand it and build on it, and then see where areas can be improved.
Just a couple of minutes left here with Paul Plinski, the new athletic director at UNK, on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let me take that a step farther. It seems that right now it's because of the circumstances, because of moving into the MIAA, because of trying to find extra funding for their program, it almost seems like it's a every man for himself mentality with some of the coaching staff up there, and it has brought some disconnect between the athletic staff, the athletic administration, and the current staff. How do you mend that? How do you bring that back together? Do you have ideas? Do you know about that? Has that been brought up?
It was pretty evident when I came to campus on July 31st, because a day or two before that, there was an article written in the Kearney Hub about that particular scenario and how coaches are now forced to do more fundraising than they are coaching and recruiting. And my goal as athletic director is to transition the coaches out of the fundraising business so that they can be into recruiting and coaching. But with that being said, we still need the coaches, because they're the ones that are building relationships with these student athletes. They have lifelong friendships. They're the ones that are the faces of the program, and they need to be pulled in to try and compel these people to give. But it's quite common in athletics, if there's no support that's given from administration or even from a campus for that matter, that coaches will do what they need to do to keep their programs alive. And unfortunately, what happens in that case is that it becomes a competitive reach for all the resources that are out there. And some programs survive and some programs really struggle. And in this particular case, you know, you can sense that, you know, there's certain programs that are really doing a lot of it that, you know, they're spending more time with it than they should be. And so I noticed that right off the bat. And thankfully that article was written. But then as I heard from coaches, they're hungry for fundraising. They're hungry for support. They're hungry for somebody to get under them and lift them up and say, you know what, I got your back today. I'm going to take care of some things so that you don't have to worry about it. You coach the kids, you teach them right, and plan your, you know, your team for success on the field or on the court or gym. So that's a big goal of mine here as we look to the future.
We've talked a lot about fundraising, and that's not your only function as athletic director.
No.
It's not.
What? He knows that. So what percentage does that take? Will you maybe hire someone that has the primary function of fundraising? You know, what is your role in that? Because coaches got to coach, athletic director's got to athletic direct, and not just do the fundraising thing. So right. how do you kind of balance that? How do you have a philosophy yet, or is that something you'll find out down the road?
Well, being an athletic director is a lot like playing golf. I mean, you've got to have every type of golf club in your bag. You know, you got to have the driver, you got to have the putter, you got to have everything in between. And as athletic director, you've got to use multiple skill set in order to get your job done. So you're pulling out different clubs for every scenario. It's helped me a lot in my past to have a PhD. I can interact with faculty at a different level and be in circles that people without a PhD don't. And so that's one thing I think will help me at UNK. Second of all is that, you know, I think I developed great relationships with the coaches and staff so that they can trust me and share things with me so we can prioritize and really get through things and get them done. The piece of all the areas that have to be addressed, the external component with fundraising, corporate sponsorships, ticket sales, all that kind of stuff, we're going to have to take a long, hard look at that. And John will be on campus to help give me some insight. The Nebraska Foundation is one that I'm going to have to tap into, because, you know, we're hoping that we could eventually get somebody in charge of fundraising for athletics specifically, because that's needed. And that can pull the coaches out of the business and get it in a format that can really support these programs. But it's a balancing act, taking all the different things that come along with the job and being able to do it all with the focus of the student athletes in mind. So not sure exactly how we get that done, but it's just multifaceted, and you just use the skills in the golf bag.
Man, I can never be an athletic director if it's like golf. Yeah, yeah, you've seen that. I'll let you out of here with this because this has been brought up too, Paul. Does Sean Eichhorst being in Lincoln, is that a positive at all for you being at UNK? Can it be? Is it?
Yeah, I don't think it's any secret that I was Sean's successor at UW-Whitewater. He was also a graduate of UW-Whitewater and moved on to South Carolina and then the University of Wisconsin. And then he got into a role at the University of Miami, which was unfortunate for both him and the institution. But Nebraska came along and provided him with a tremendous chance to move back to the Big Ten and be a vital player in a very powerful conference. Sean, as and I have collaborated, he helped me back in 2004 when I was reviewing the job at UW-Whitewater and gave me some great insight. Over the years, he's been a resource for me as we've tried to up our fan experience at UW-Whitewater, so he's provided that insight to me. He's kept his eye on what's going on here. I feel like he's been a friend in the process, and he's somewhat been of a resource, but I think we both know that we're kind of competitors now in a way. You know, he's got his job, and he's got the people he has to be responsible for, and he's got to fill seats in their stadium, and I, at the same time, have to build up Kearney Athletics and make sure that we have the fan support that we need to support our programs. And I think that he'll be supportive and we'll collaborate and see each other. But at the same time, you know, we'll have our different roles and take care of our different responsibilities in our own unique way. So I'm excited about it because I think this upcoming year and the many years to come, there can be dramatic changes that happen on this campus and in this city that are going to make people awfully proud of what we've got here.
I was kind of hoping Sean might say, well, we got a little extra money. We don't need all that. Let's just
We've raised way too much here.
He won't do that, but we're going to find those people and pull them our direction somehow.
Well, Paul, we appreciate the extended visit here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Look forward to getting to know you more, have you on the show as you're into your new role here as UNK Athletic Director. And now go find a place to live.
Got to find a place to live, but we're ready to be here September 1st. And, you know, with the Lopers kicking off on September 5th, we're excited for a Thursday night game. We'd love to see as many people out there as possible because we're going to have our hands full this season, but I think we're going to just keep getting better and make the most of every opportunity.
Yeah, he could say the first couple games, but it's going to be play everybody. Yeah.
Well, what I've read a little bit is that the first half of the season is very tough.
Yes, yes.
And then, you know, the competition changes a little bit, but each game is important. So,
well, they'll be ready. They'll be ready. Paul, thank you so much for the time.
My pleasure. Thank you guys for having me. It's been a great time.
Elizabeth, nice meeting you as well.
We'll take a break. Be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill in Hastings. We have the bar ready to go. The new menus are on the table, and now we're ready to staff the place for a busy summer. We're now taking applications for all positions, including front of the house and back of the house. No experience necessary, just bright, shiny faces. We're looking for the staff just as fun as we are. Apply in person at HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, it's the Herd. You always hear that phrase, use your time wisely. Easier said than done. We're all busy. But I know a simple way to start using your time more effectively. Stamps.com. So easy and so convenient. You buy and you print official U.S. postage, the real thing, and you use your own computer and printer. That means you don't have to drop by the post office. Print postage for any letter, any package, within seconds. And here's the cool thing. Right from your desk, 24/7. The post office could be closed. Stamps.com is always open. Right now, Stamps.com has a special offer for my listeners. Use my name, Colin, for a no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer. Includes a digital scale and $55 of free postage. Listen, you got to use your time wisely. Stamps.com. Don't wait. Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio mic top of the page. Type in Colin, Stamps.com. And
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see some scattered showers and storms around the area today, along with some breaks of sun developing in spots with a high at 78. Winds will stay to the south. Tonight, there's a chance for isolated showers and storms as we head back to 61. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 66.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Hewitt, Randy Bushcutter with you here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Don't forget, they're giving away the Husker season tickets on the 25th. Like them on their Facebook page. Mark emailed us here with our long chat. It's kind of ironic or just a good point that Mr. Plinski brought up right off the bat, the volleyball team. And Mark says, Mr. Plinski, welcome to UNK. Can you blow up the D2 volleyball central region?
Needs to be done. What is it? Six of the top eight teams in the country in one region?
Yeah, preseason. And you know, preseason, but still.
It's been that way for 10 years, though.
There was a team in the top 20 in the country that didn't even make the regional tournament last year. I mean, ladies and gentlemen.
Field of 64 in the top 20 didn't make it.
What if your NCAA men's basketball and your team has been ranked in the top 20 all year and you don't even get invited to the tournament? Can you imagine the anarchy that would go on over something like that? That's what happened in volleyball. It is just totally outrageous, and we'll talk about that on another day. But Lopers are ranked third, the top eight, just like they were last year at the end of the season. So the same powers will be back. It's time now for our high school football preview, and we move along on this Wednesday with the head football coach of the Kearney Catholic Stars, Dave Colling, as they're getting those kids ready for school and learning all that stuff, teacher in service. And Dave, how are you, man? Did we get you away from anything?
No, Doug, you did not. How are you guys doing? Fire alarms are kind of going off here a little bit. You hear something in the background. That's what those are.
As long as they're just testing them. As long as they're just testing them.
Yeah, be very aware of that idea. Yeah.
Dave, we had Coach Kuhl on Monday. You guys are in a little bit of the same boat. There's not a lot of returning high school football players as far as starters in the city of Kearney. This is probably the fewest starters that Kearney Catholic has had returning in a number of years, even probably before your tenure.
Yeah, you know, we've been blessed the past couple of years to have some guys return, and like I said, it's not as many guys are returning this year, but you know, like I said, we had a great summer, you know, and the guys know the success that we've had, and they want to keep that going. So, like I said, the weight room is full. We got guys, you know, pretty hungry, and the potential's there, and I like their effort in the off season here.
Well, you graduated 12 seniors from last year's team. Obviously, the vast majority of your starters from a year ago were seniors. What area were you hit the most from graduation, and you think you have the best chance of having some younger kids come in there and replace those seniors? Where are you kind of the strongest in terms of bringing back some players that can fill in for what the seniors did a year ago?
You know, no doubt the weakest, the loss that we had, we returned one lineman, you know, and anyone coaching football knows everything's, you know, built around the line. So, you know, and like I said, we got some juniors stepping in. Nick Dowling is the returning lineman, but, you know, we have some juniors that are stepping in. We'll be almost as big as we've ever been up front. And like I said, they hit the weight room. Nick Brungard, Colin Arredondo, Dennis Cabanning, of course, got hurt last year and is back with us. Austin Arnn, some of those guys have done a great job of getting stronger. And, you know, we just need them to gel and get some confidence. But I would say that's the place we lost the most seniors at.
We're talking with Dave Colling, head football coach at Kearney Catholic here. You guys are so known for putting up points and being a great offense, but Alex Lowe in the defense, Thomas Conley's back. Lowe, of course, led the state in a variety of categories in Class C. How do you go about replacing somebody like that, and who are some of the kids that are going to step in?
You know, some of the tough couple positions to replace. You know, like I said, those are great athletes, and they're going on to – sorry about the background noise here, but they're going on to play, you know, at the next level. So, you know, it's tough to replace those guys. But, you know, we do have some guys back. You know, Blake Holtmeyer's coming back at safety, like you said. Thomas Conley, Jack Graham's coming back. You know, Derek Jackson's another senior that's going to help us out at corner. Bryce James played a little corner last year also. You know, so once again, the linemen, you know, of course, we lost all four linemen, and that's huge also. But like you said, I like the work ethic our guys have, the young guys. And you know, we went through a lot of camps this summer, and you know, they got better and gelled a little bit as a group, and I think that'll continue. But, you know, it's like you said, it's tough to replace some of those guys, and I like what I see. You know, we're only into day two now, but I kind of like what I see, and you know, the work ethic's there, and we're going to hopefully get to where we need to in 3.5 weeks.
Well, maybe it's time to move from what you've lost and start talking about what you got coming back. And Thomas Conley, your leading rusher from a year ago, is back, but I think he's probably going to be playing quarterback for you. Talk a little bit about what the backfield's going to be like for you. Is Conley going to be the guy that's quarterbacking this year?
You know, I don't know if it's 100% certain. You know, he'll have a package in there. Right now, he's probably the lead guy. We got Johnny Master, that's a junior, that showed some promise this summer. But like I said, Thomas brings the dual threat to our offense that we of course need. And like I said, he's a great runner, and throws the ball fairly well. Also, you know, plays baseball, and so you know, anytime you try to mix a quarterback with a baseball player during the summer, you know, it's kind of tough. So, but I think when now the baseball's over, you know, he concentrates on that, and he'll do just fine at the quarterback spot.
Talking now for another minute or two with the head football coach at Kearney Catholic, in Dave Colling. Is Thomas quarterback out of necessity, or because I mean that's a big move. That's a big move, Dave. When you move a leading rusher, it shows his versatility. But that's a pretty big move.
Yeah, you know it is. You know he's been a backup quarterback the last 2 years. You know, in the state championship game here 2 years ago, he was the backup and had to come in and play in the second half. You know, last year of course Abe was quarterback. Thomas had some reps quite a few times, and so you know it's not foreign to him. He's been in the position before. It's just now he'll maybe called upon to be a starter.
You kind of go ahead.
No.
You kind of mentioned that you had him as a backup quarterback last couple of years, but I think a total of 3 passing attempts were made by someone not named Abe Clinch last year. I mean, that's a position, especially a team that has kind of built a reputation of liking to go in the air at least a fair amount of the time. Is that going to change that? Are you going to be more of a run-oriented team with that lack of experience at quarterback?
You know, we have Coach Harvey coming back at offensive coordinator, but you know, like we've been talking about all summer, you know, we got to stay multidimensional. And so, no, I don't think we can run, you know, are there times that we're going to run heavy? Yeah. Are there times they're going to have to throw heavy? Yes. You know, and I think we have enough confidence in Thomas that he can get the job done. And like I said, Johnny Masker throws a great ball also. So, you know, we've been blessed with Abe, you know, the last 3 years, but these two guys are going to have to step up and carry the offense.
Well, it might be a little early in camp, but since my co-host is Randy, I'll have to ask you about the special teams and how that plays in where are you sitting right now.
You know, I think we're, like you said, we're on day two, but of course we have both kickers coming back, Chase Murphy and Grant Bushcutter, and I think that's Randy's son actually. Both have worked their tails off all summer. You know, they kick on their own and stuff like that, and you know, I've seen them. You know, in fact, when I drive by Kearney Catholic, I'll see him out there shagging balls, kicking. So, you know, in the special team department, I think we're bringing two guys that are very good back, you know, on the team.
Well, looking at your schedule, Dave, to me, Cozad kind of looks like the team maybe to beat in the district. How do you see your regular season lineup, and how do you see the district in particular?
You know, there's some tough teams. Like I said, we got a tough district, and You know, I guess the only thing we talked to the team here, like, you know, the last couple of days, the only thing we can control is ourselves. And so, you know, our goal right now is to get better as a team, you know, each day and going into that first game, you know, game by game, getting better and getting better. And, you know, I think if we do that, you know, by the end of the season, I think we'll be where we want to be.
Coach, with the schedule moving back a week this year, it seems like you guys are conditioning and practicing longer than ever before. And I know it's early on, but is that the case? Are there more days this year, and does that make you tweak a few things?
You know, I think, you know, when we put out the days, I don't know if we have any more days, to be honest. You know, I know we pushed all back, but conditioning got pushed back a week also. You know, so I think we got ample time to get stuff in. Like I said, we're only on day two, so, of course, we don't have a lot of stuff in, you know, at this point right now. We do get to start pads today, which will, you know, how that is. Some of the boys will step up, and some of the boys are going to need to step up. So, you know, I think we have ample time to get ready for that first game. And like I said, the guys, you know, seem very hungry right now. And, you know, and that's a key word I use a lot. You know, you can have all the skill in the world. You can have all the strength in the world, but if you're not hungry, you ain't going to go far.
I've seen some of those kids eat. You should be good, Dave.
I'm feeding one of those at my house, yeah.
It all starts September 6th with your Chanticleers at Miles Field, which was one of the toughest, if not the closest game point-wise in the regular season last year, and we'll have that game for you here on Platte River Radio, and we'll talk with Coach Colling, of course, before the season opener. Dave, we'll let you get back to work. Thanks for the time, and keep the kids healthy.
Hey guys, thanks. I appreciate it.
Take care. Dave Colling, head coach, Kearney Catholic Stars, joining us here in our high school football preview. First time in quite a while that the Stars are not favored in their district.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the last couple of years they've – and again, it was that senior class. And that was a special run of those 12 kids that they had in terms of quality of individuals – pretty good football players, tremendous leaders, and that just there is a vacuum there. You know, when that happens, when you get such a large class of seniors with all that senior leadership, this year's seniors who were juniors last year didn't really have to take much of a leadership role because with 12 seniors, somebody's going to fill that up. So I think that's one of the things that you always look for when you have that is who's going to step up and be that team leader.
And I think just looking at all the choices they have at running back, H-back, wing back, you'll still see a lot of talent out there in that shooting star going 4-5 wide with a good fullback, no matter if it's Conley the fullback or Conley the quarterback. I think it's important that Conley stays healthy, though.
Absolutely, and he's right, too. That is going to be – they're actually going to have a larger offensive and defensive line than they had a year ago. You know, again, not that same there's no David Squires out there, but you do have some kids. Nick Dowling has started as a sophomore, now is going to have a chance to start as a junior. They're actually going to be bigger this year than they were last year, and that line could be a strength of the team. And if you're good up front, you're good.
And Cabanting was on the front page of the Hub earlier this week. He's already 270-plus.
They need a wide-angle lens to take his picture and be in the front page of that.
So, good stuff. We've got Hastings High later on. We've got more high school football coaches set for tomorrow. Do we know Jeffrey?
I'm trying to get Northwest right now.
All right. That sounds good.
There you go.
We're out there to everybody, taking care of the Tri-Cities over the first 2 weeks, and then, as always, going on the outskirts from that. Also, Bob Jensen for the entire hour tomorrow from Huskerland Prep Report. We will be looking at his top 10, his thoughts on area teams, All-Staters preseason, and things like that in the state of a high school football. Plus, tomorrow, it's our opening segment of the year for fantasy football. We welcome back again this season from RotoWire and RotoWire.com, Luke Hoover. Our plan is to have Luke every Thursday in the final segment around 11:45, 11:50. You can always, it's for you, the listeners, to ask your fantasy football questions, whether you email us, whether you Facebook us, whether you tweet us. Get in your fantasy football questions, because every Thursday we will do fantasy football brought to you by Fanatics. Fantasy football fanatics, that's a lot of F's.
That is. And we're going to have a fantasy football contest. Doug and Daddy, Fanatics coming together. We'll have a weekly fantasy football contest. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. But
something else I have to dominate.
Yeah, good luck with that. And by the way, if you win a week, you're entered in the end of the year prize package that Fanatics will have for the Super Bowl.
Good stuff.
Which we're still putting together.
Folks, the weather is out of your control, but you can be in control and confident with the best value on a T&L irrigation system. And right now you can save $5,200 on a quarter-mile pivot. Get the best water distribution for your crops during the long haul of an extended heat wave by calling T&L Irrigation or stopping by your local T&L dealer today. You can always check it out more, answer your questions online at TLIRR.com. Get T&L's hydraulic technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime. By the way, dominating fantasy football. Baltimore won the Super Bowl last year over San Francisco. And I just want you to know that Jeffrey, I noticed over there, had pulled up our preseason baseball prognostications, which people were making fun of mine, thinking I was falling off the bandwagon about 2 months in. But I have seen, once again, who I picked. I remember who I took the Dodgers to win it all. That didn't look good. But tell me what you think of that right now, Randall J. XYZ Bushcutter.
Which is really hard to write that on a check, by the way. It's hard to get all that to fit on a check. Well, I you know, I'm not looking all that bad. Detroit's not looking bad. My Angels thing is looking awful. But somebody else mentioned the Dodgers, too. Oh, yeah, that was me. That was me. But my Angels thing is not looking good.
Yeah, the Angels beating Washington. And who do I have there?
Dodgers and Detroit.
I think that's looking very good.
I'm surprised. Yeah, it was good of you to have room on the bandwagon there.
This
it was
so
good of you,
awesome.
Detroit. Wow, we're on a limb here with Detroit.
Remember,
we're on a limb. No, that's the trunk. It's not on a limb. You're on the trunk of the tree.
It's all about being right, and we'll be right back.
Do you ever just want to escape ordinary? You know what I'm talking about, with the wife always on your tail, the kids running around like a bunch of wild turkeys, the same old routine day in and day out. When you're ready to escape ordinary, just head over to Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's the best place to hang out with your buds, have a great bite to eat, and an ice cold beer while you watch all your favorite sports. When it's time to escape ordinary, head over to Cunningham's Journal, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
Life moves fast, and you're a busy person, which means you don't have time for the problems a low credit score creates. So let's cut to the chase. A low credit score can be a serious drag. Whether it's disqualifying you for a line of credit or keeping your interest rates high, it can be incredibly frustrating. But at CreditRepair.com, we totally get it. With 15 years of experience helping people find solutions to their credit issues, we work with both your creditors and the credit bureaus to improve your credit score. Although your results may vary, our past customers have seen an average of 11 negative deletions from their credit reports in just 4 months. So call us at 800-594-5407.
CreditRepair.com went in, did their job, and I sat back. My goal is perfect credit, and I'm on my way.
Call CreditRepair.com at 800-594-5407 and let us get busy fixing your credit. Call 800-594-5407. 800-594-5407.
From the best games of the regular season to the Bowl Championship Series, including the BCS National Championship in Pasadena, January 6th. You know us. We know college football. ESPN Radio.
We'll see some scattered showers and storms around the area today, along with some breaks of sun developing in spots with a high at 78. Winds will stay to the south. Tonight, there's a chance for isolated showers and storms as we head back to 61. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 66.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our Midtown Mart cooler question of the day. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Which team will win the ACC? We're going through some college football prognostications this week. 64% all over Clemson. I just thought Florida State, I think they're overrated, but winning it and being ranked third in the country are two different things. So Florida State, then Virginia Tech and Miami. Which team will win the AAC? Formerly the Big East. Louisville, Cincinnati, or you got the field?
I'll take the field.
I'll take Louisville. I mean, this is a case where they'd have to lose multiple conference games.
Yeah, I kind of want to look at the schedule. I haven't looked at the schedule to answer that one.
They played nobody.
See, well, the conference is a bunch of nobodies.
So you can vote on our poll question, Midtown Mart Cooler question, every single day at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, we caught up at Big Ten Media Days with Mike Pereira. Interesting fella. He's been around. He's done some work in the NFL. He's analyzed games for Fox, and he is going to do that for both college and the NFL this year. And it's part of our Big Ten preview brought to you by Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance as you're moving in to your student abode for the upcoming college season. Don't forget, Bruce Furniture can get you some items that aren't 100% over the top, not in your budget. Consignments, closeout, clearance items. Check it out at Bruce Furniture.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You see his smiling face on TV all the time. Mike Pereira joins us here to chat a little bit about some things that are near and dear to our heart. And Mike, thanks for giving us some time here. The first question I want to ask you, how do you like what you're doing now compared to all the knowledge and all the work you had to do to kind of get where you are?
Well, I tell you, to me, I mean, I love it. Okay, so the question is, what part of it do I love the most? You know, do I love the fact of being on TV and maybe get to explain some rules? Is that the thing I love the most? Or is it the fact with this new job that instead of getting yelled at by coaches and general managers and everybody on Mondays and Tuesdays, I play golf on Mondays and Tuesdays. So I don't have the headaches that I used to have when I had the NFL job. But, you know, to me, I think the reaction has surprised me, you know, because everybody, I think, is pretty much enjoyed the fact that somebody comes on and said, here's the rule, here's what they're looking at, here's what we expect them to do, and it gives them a perspective which they've never gotten from a ex-player or an ex-coach. Ex-player knows how the game's played, ex-coach knows how it's coached. Neither of them know how it's officiated, and quite frankly, neither of them are probably very knowledgeable about the rules themselves, so it's a little different perspective.
The fans obviously love it. Is it good for the game that we break down every single thing that happens?
Well, yeah, I think it is. And I think rules-wise, you know, fans don't know the rules either. And I don't think you can really truly enjoy the game unless you do know the rules. It'll give you a better appreciation when you're trying to watch it. So the more I can educate, you know, I think the better it is. And you look at this and, you know, it's not just Fox now. I mean, you look at ESPN, of course, and they had the Steve Javy in the studios for the NBA playoffs, and you have a guy on Monday Night Football. You have a guy that the Gerald Austin, who's with the ESPN crew. So it's getting more and more, I think, to be something that people are starting to expect, and I think that's a good thing, and maybe even more key, I think the officials appreciate it, because if they're going to get criticized, they'd rather be criticized by somebody that knows what they're talking about, you know, as opposed to somebody who maybe puts out bad information or just generally criticizes without having the knowledge of how difficult it is to do that job.
Talking with Mike Pereira, Fox, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. For the fans out there, at least at the collegiate level, we all know about the targeting rule. What's going to be new this year the fans need to be paying attention to?
Well, see, I think their rule changes to me were very limited this year. I mean, they did some really smart things by looking at the last minute of a half and saying, you know, what does an injury that stops the clock, does that create an advantage for the offense? And so they put a 10-second runoff with that, so you can't get an advantage of that. Otherwise, you know, I think it was fairly simple. Some of the things they clarified, nobody would know what they were talking about anyways, you know. So I think this targeting thing has been the talk of the town, although the rule itself did not change. I heard somebody say, none of the coaches understand the new rule. Okay, well, I think this is one of the simplest rules to understand. The only thing that changed is if you get called for targeting, same thing as last year, you're going to be ejected. And replay can overturn the ejection. That's the only thing that is new. So, you know, it's just part of this great effort on all levels, great effort by everybody to try to take the head and neck out of the game as much as you can.
Obviously, concern, folks don't think football might be around in 20 years. Where do you see the state personally, your opinion on where the game is
collegiately and at the pro level?
Yeah, look, you go through cycles. I mean, and you know, and I think football is a bit at the crossroads right now, and I think they're doing the things that they need to do. You know, you got to go back to 1905 if you want to go back in history, and Teddy Roosevelt was going to ban the game. He was going to ban the game. 18 people playing football were killed in 1905, and so Teddy got the guys together, the people, the Yales and those guys where football really started, and say, you either change the rules and put some rules in there to protect players, or I am going to ban the game. He's going to do an executive order and ban the game. So they eliminated the flying wedge, and you know, and they put in a neutral zone, because as I read in the historical part of that 1905 era, I think it was 18 players died. 13 were from football contact, 5 were from fisticuffs on the field, you know, where a guy killed a guy fighting on the field. And you know, and obviously, you know, the game recovered. And I think where we are now in the game, we're at a crossroads for reasons that would never be the same as like early on. There's, you know, there's lawsuits in the game about concussions and all those things. But to me, this crossroads is going to make the game safer on the lower levels, on the Pop Warner level and the high school level, where I think it's critical to keep that level healthy. And so will the game be around in 20 years? Absolutely, it'll be around 20 years from now. Will it look different maybe than it looked, you know, now, or maybe than it looked 10 years ago? Absolutely, it'll look different. It will be a safer sport with probably safer equipment and probably with safer techniques. The form tackle, as we know it, to me, is no longer the form tackle. You know, the form tackle was a lower your head and wrap. You know, now it's going to be wrap and get your head to the side and hit with your shoulder to the chest. You know, it's just evolving into a bit of a different game.
Mike Pereira with us for just another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show. That kind of leads into my last question here. Every fan, every human gets frustrated over some part of waiting for the review, or why was that called, why wasn't that called. What's still frustrating to you?
Well, I mean, the two things used to frustrate me, and they were on the NFL level, really. Two rules that frustrated me. One was the tuck rule, which I think they finally got rid of, which, you know, to me was long overdue. And the second thing, I'm still frustrated with the punitive penalty that they have in the NFL, you know, regarding pass interference and the fact that it could be a 50-yard penalty. And I'm also somewhat frustrated, and it's the nature of the beast to a degree, but college football is so much more pure. I mean, you don't get all of the celebrations and the nonsense and the dancing because it's against the rule. And so, you know, kids come into the NFL, and they don't do all that stuff, and then they immediately come in, and now they want to be the highlight film on ESPN. And, you know, I've always been a team guy. I think that, you know, a guy that catches a touchdown pass, guess what? Somebody threw it to you, buddy. And that guy that threw it to you, hey, there were 5 guys up front that blocked for you so that you could have time to throw that pass. It's a team game, and I'm just not big on this individual celebration to bring attention to me. I used to get criticized for that, and we changed some of the rules in the NFL. But then again, you know, NFL is part entertainment. You know, which I think probably factors in it. You know, they want to make sure the fans have a fun time watching the game, and so some of that stuff is allowed.
Did you ever miss one?
I'm just trying to think if I ever got one right. You know, it's, we were talking about that the other day. It's amazing. I wasn't in the NFL very long because I went in the administrative side quickly. I was on the field for 2 years. But I can't really remember any call. Somebody said, what was your best call? I can't remember that. But I can tell you what, I can remember my worst miss. And it will stay with you as an official forever. That illegal contact that I missed in 1997 in the divisional playoff game, Kansas City and Denver, that I absolutely swallowed the olive on, you know, I mean, look at that. Was back in 1997. It's as clear to me today as it was, I'm going to say, a minute and a half after it happened, and it just doesn't go away.
Well, Mike, we appreciate Kansas City, Denver. That's perfect for being in Nebraska. That should get the phone lines going here, Mike.
And just by the way, let me just clarify this. It should have been illegal contact called Against Kansas City. So I get Kansas City the break. So, you know. Chief, don't let this get to Denver, you know.
Chief fan, that's for you. Mike, thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. We really enjoy your work.
You got it. Thanks.
That's Mike Pereira, part of our Big Ten football preview, brought to you in part by Gary Michaels Clothiers of Hastings, providing you with the finest menswear from Lincoln to Denver. Be listening. They have got something really cool coming up in the near future at Gary Michaels Clothiers.
I love Pereira and the other officials in the other sports that get on the air and explain it, because, you know, you have a working knowledge of football, but have you ever seen the football rule book? I mean, it is thick. There's a lot of stuff in there. The tuck rule, for instance, it seemed wrong then. They've changed since then, but they explained it and they got it right in the game. And it's awfully nice to have that, because you think you know the rules. It's always nice to kind of learn what you didn't know and go from there. So that's one of the reasons why television does such a great job with football. It really does, because there's all that other stuff.
Time for lunch, folks. Don't forget, Chicken Coop is open 7 days a week for you in Kearney and Grand Island. It is Wednesday. The lunch special on Wednesday is the turkey BLT on a ciabatta bun with choice of side item. And, of course, every Wednesday night, it's Big Burger Night. Any burger off the menu with fries, only $5. That's the amazing thing. We've been talking about some specials at the Chicken Coop for years here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Big Burger Night has always been $5. Same great burgers off the menu with fries.
Yeah, they're not shrinking. They're not shrinking. They're the same burgers.
Take the whole crew down there and have yourself a big burger tonight at the Chicken Coop, or anything off the menu. Steaks, chicken, wings, boneless, bone-in, whichever kind you like. Chicken tender hoagie, get some ribs, quesadillas. They've got something for everyone at the Chicken Coop. Don't forget happy hour from 2 to 5:30 Monday through Friday, and not a bad seat in the house to watch your favorite sporting events, whether it's Major League Baseball this afternoon, because we've got some games going on, or whether it's the NFL and college football season that is right around the corner. The Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. Let me run through the world of sports here. Royals, man, when I turned it on last night, it was 0-0 in the eighth. I went, no, it's Miami. It's the Marlins. And they got the starter for the Marlins has done outstanding here the last, like, 12 outings.
Yeah, he's like the one player they have.
Yeah, he's like one time has he given up more than two runs in an outing out of his last 12. And the Royals got him out of the game 0-0 and couldn't win it. So they're 3.5 back in the wild card race right now.
And you get above 500, which they are. They've gotten hot now. You're above 500. You're in contention. And they just need to stay. They don't have to be white hot to get in there from this point on. They just have to play about 600 baseball. That's doable. That's manageable.
The National D2 Volleyball poll was released yesterday afternoon. We've touched on it a little bit. Six-time defending national champion, also known as the thorn in the side of Lover Volleyball, is number one. Tampa is two. The Lopers are three. Minnesota Duluth, four. BYU Hawaii, five. Out of the MIAA, Washburn is seventh, and Central Missouri, eighth, plus Wayne State is number 20 to start the season. And six of the top eight teams in the country are in the Lopers Central Region. Nebraska football team practiced last night. They've went this morning. They'll go again tonight as they continue the roughest and most strenuous week of the year, 9 practices in 6 days. Coach Pelini talked a lot about the defense yesterday, the secondary, the corners, the front seven, the front down linemen that he's been watching here, and talked a lot about them and said what you need to say. Long way to go. They're showing improvement. And all that, and more coming up from Sean Callahan on the Big Red Report.
And we touched on this a little bit with the regional that UNK is in for volleyball, and they need to split it in half some way. They need to gerrymander it, if you will, where you take half the good teams and put them in one district, and the other half should move on to another. It won't happen, but they need to do that to make it so your national tournament actually has as much as you can, have the 8 best teams in the country in the national tournament in that Elite Eight. That's the goal. It ought to be the goal. And again, with Division II, you have more travel concerns financially than you have in Division I. So it'll never be absolutely that way, but they need to start working in that direction.
They needed to start doing that a long time
ago. Oh, absolutely.
There hasn't been a peep. There isn't even a move. It's sad. It truly is. It truly is sad.
It is doing a disservice to the young ladies who are competing for that.
No doubt. You could be the second best team in the country and never get that opportunity.
To be in the Elite Eight.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, we want to thank all of you for joining us for today's Doug and Daddy Show and welcome in the new athletic director at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Paul Plinsky. We want to thank Paul for being in studio live with us today for a good 30 minutes. If you miss any of the interview or want to hear it again, all of our interviews, all of our shows are up on the podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com, brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and the Loft. Also to Mike Pereira, Fox Sports Network, being on your college and NFL games this year, and Kearney Catholic coach Dave Colling. Another high school football preview coming your way tomorrow, plus fantasy football with Luke Hoover of RotoWire, and Bob Jensen is in for the entire hour. Randy, sorry you lost your vote last night, but thanks for being here today.
Hey, no problem, man.
See you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.